Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen. Ray is producing and engineering our show on the other side of the glass. Hope you had a great weekend. We finally finished most of the painting at the Hacienda de Buckmaster, so that's a good feeling after a little bit of disruption. So I hope your weekend was productive and you're looking forward to a very productive work week as well. We're coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI. We live stream our show. That means worldwide listening anywhere in the world that you're close to a computer, kvoi.com or buckmastershow.com. And thanks to my fine friend and assistant, Rosemary Brandt, we usually get our show. The podcast gets up within an hour or so after the program. The Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. If you would like to enhance our conversation on the Monday Political Face-Off with a question or comment, you are invited to do so, and you're also invited to visit us on Facebook, and we do Twitter at Buckmaster Show. The Monday Political Face-Off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Translation, Mr. Mo goes out and does house calls, so he'll hang all of your items at the house. So check it out, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, moesgallery.com, and on Facebook. Our Monday Political Face-Off today featuring Paul Eckerstrom. Paul is here, and Paul is the former chair of the state and local Pima County Democratic Party. And with us today, Jim Kelly. Jim returns to the Monday Political Face-Off. Jim has been a Republican Party activist since he was 4 years old. No, I don't know. I don't know how much. At a very young age, you were telling me, even in the 60s, you remember the 60s because you were looking at newspapers at age four. Maybe that was it.
Something like that, right? Ever since I was 15, 16 years old, I've walked for candidates and been particularly Republican candidates.
Well, hopefully this will be a better week than last week for America. It's just there's so much anger out there and a lot of people confused. And I think the question, Paul and Jim, that folks are asking, okay, where do we go from here, Jim Kelly?
Well, obviously, it you know, from my perspective, I believe this has been a very calculated and planned event. I think that's been proven over and over again by the behavior of Black Lives Matter in cities across the country, wanting to take over the freeways, wanting to have a presence that would be reactionable. In some cases, police have reacted correctly. In other cases, they may not have. The Dallas issue is extremely troubling because I think, on one hand, there are people that join movements to have a voice and to have a united voice and being able to say, here is a problem and we want to solve it. But I also think that there are people within those movements who have very, very selfish agendas, and all they want is power. And they tend to incite the radical and often mentally unstable. And I think that's what we got in Dallas by somebody actually paying attention to violent rhetoric on the side of the people who stage and coordinate these bought and paid for corporatized protest movements.
Paul Eckerstrom.
Well, I have a totally different perspective on all this. I think what Black Lives Matter didn't cause what happened in Dallas, and frankly, there was a lot of church members and people like that were out there in that protest, and the police officers were actually protecting the protesters, and everything was going fine. There's a mentally ill person who had been watching TV and saw what happened in Dallas, Baton Rouge and in Minnesota, and just lost it. And, you know, unfortunately, he was former military, so he was a very good shot, and he killed five police who were there to protect the protesters and did their job and actually ran to the shots, and they should be considered heroes. Here's the problem. and I really believe this. We just need to get back to basics of love thy neighbor and listen to the other person and walk in their shoes for a while. I think a lot of people, and I'm a public defender. I've dealt with people who have been targeted by the police, African-Americans who have been profiled, and I've had friends who are African-American who tell me what they go through. I have a friend who's a teacher, and he's got a master's degree, and he's been pulled over numerous times by police for no reason at all, and just because they want to check out if he's a criminal, I guess. And, you know, after that happens to you over and over again, as a group, they get very angry, and I understand that anger, but I don't feel that anger because I'm not black. But I understand it. I know it's there because I've seen it in my career and seen it with my personal friends. One of the things people have to understand is that this has been going on for a long time where police have gotten fairly violent in situations. And it's not all police. And I hate generalization, but some police have take their power in a negative way towards African-Americans, I believe. And it's been going on for years. And the only reason we're seeing so much of it now is these videos, I think.
Mm, yeah, that was going to be my next.
And the other thing is understand this. There's a lot of folks who've served in the military who are now in the police departments. And, you know, they've come back from fairly horrific things themselves and may not be totally balance themselves.
Let's talk about identity. Let's talk about, again, the corporatization of this social unrest, because that's really what has happened. And one of the things that has been done corporately by these groups is identity politics. If you know, we're all proud to say, hey, I'm a veteran, I'm a combat veteran, but right until you come home and you got people calling you a whack job with PTSD. We're all proud of being members of law enforcement, if you're a member of law enforcement, until somebody starts throwing rocks at you for saying you're a racist and you target and profile African-Americans and minorities. The reality of it is this. When you take a hard look at police contact, all police contact, whether it be a 911 service call or a traffic stop or whatever, okay, your chance of being killed by a cop is 0.0039%, all right? Yes, there are the majority of people killed by cops are white. Here's the problem. We only have a 13.2% of the population is black, but 32% of the people being killed by cops are black. That's a problem.
Right.
That's something that's institutional that needs to be taken a hard, hard look at as to how and why. But what's interesting is that the latest study that comes out of Harvard says being killed by a cop has nothing to do with your race, but your chances of contact with a police officer, race does play a role. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So those are the kinds of things that we have to take a hard look at. I've done, you know, ride-alongs with cops, okay? They're never looking at the person's race. They're usually looking at their car. What's wrong with their car? What's wrong with their driving and their behavior while driving? And that's when the other things start coming along. Once they run the plates, they run a driver's license, and they start seeing background on this person, and if there's enough to keep going. As you well know, that's the kind of profiling that does occur.
Yep, right.
But they had a good reason to stop them to begin with. And like I said, every cop I've ever ridden with, they could care less about the person's race. They cared about the behavior and the car that they were driving or what their behavior was on the street. Why were they walking in that neighborhood at that particular time of night? And I'm telling you, really, how many people should be out walking a neighborhood at 3 o'clock at night unless they're the neighborhood watch?
Well, and understand this. I think there's a lot more deep-seated problems than just people being maybe a little bit prejudiced and not understanding a person from a different culture or background. You know, I think economics play a role in this, and there's a higher level of poverty among the African-American community. That needs to be addressed. There's a lot of things that African-Americans have a right to be angry about in the situation. We've come a long way in this country on the legal issues dealing with race, and obviously we've come a long way as a culture as well. But it's still there. And the light that's being shown on it right now is these videos that come out because everybody's got a cell phone now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think it may seem very disruptive right now, and it's kind of a scary situation because of that, all this. I think in the long run, it's going to be a good thing, because whenever you shine a light on a problem, then society will hopefully come together, and I think we will, to solve the problem. And I think this is just a boil that's been there for a long time, and now we just need to learn how to lance it.
Let me ask you a question about these videos.
Take a break, Jim.
Are these videos even legal in court, because they're not being submitted as evidence by, say, a licensed private detective?
No, they can be, because whoever takes it, takes the video, can put make the lay yeah, the foundation for that to be brought in for evidence.
All right. We're going to take our break right here. Carl has a good question about the police use of the robot with the explosives. That is being asked a lot about, is this a change in law enforcement? Carl, we're going to get to you after the break. If you can stick around 4 minutes, we'll be right back on The Face-Off.
Hi, Dr. Kevin Lehman. Want to see the fastest draw in all the West? Want to see it again? Anyway, if you're looking for somebody to take care of those termites that you've got in your house, do yourself a favor. Call my friend Shelby Hawkins over at 5-Star Termite and Pest Control. They do a great job, they're economical, and they're friendly to our environment. 886-0045.
We're 5-Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Local Tucson business, American Openings, is pleased to be a sponsor of Gospel Rescue Mission. They're on a mission to restore lives that are afflicted by homelessness, hopelessness, and addiction. Each day, the Gospel Rescue Mission in Tucson houses, feeds, and ministers to hundreds of men, women, and children. Gospel Rescue Mission, where homelessness ends and lives are restored. You can learn more at grmtucson.com. American Openings is proud to support Gospel Rescue Mission.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Hi, Alan Schultz from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you're sure to find a business you can trust. Whether you need a quote from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Jim Kelly is here, longtime Republican Party activist and longtime Democrat Party activist is Mr. Paul Eckerstrom. Let's go to the live line. Carl has been waiting very patiently, and he brings up an issue that came out of the very senseless killings in Dallas. Carl, go ahead.
Yes, you know, the police are supposed to be peace officers. More and more, they seem to have become law enforcement officers. And I'm as far right as you can get, but I've got some real major problems with using explosives against an American citizen. You know, you can play Monday morning quarterback all you want, everything else. They had the guy pinned down. He wasn't going anywhere else. I can understand the rage and the frustration after seeing their fellow officer shot. But I have some major, major issues with using explosives in that particular situation. I mean, to be honest with you, with what's been going on, is it possible to think that the next time somebody is in hot pursuit and they've got somebody that's running away from the police, if they don't go after them with a drone with a firearm on it? I mean, you know, they have firearms on drones already. It's just become the police seem to have lost their way, and they're no longer peace officers. But they have become so militarized, and it's anything and everything to induce compliance in the civilian population.
All right, Carl.
And it just really bothers me.
Well, thank you, and I think it bothers a lot of people. The Wall Street Journal, Jim Kelly, reported over the weekend this is the first use of, in a domestic situation by law enforcement, of a robot with a bomb.
And the Wall Street Journal is wrong.
Okay.
The first time a bomb was used for law enforcement purposes was on the MOVE headquarters in Philadelphia.
Oh, okay. All right. But anyway.
Am I right or not, Paul?
I think that's right.
Okay.
Okay. They dropped a bomb on the whole building.
So ethically, this is the big question, though, a lot of people are asking.
Well, yeah. The militarization of law enforcement began in the 60s, and it began because of things like the Weather Underground, the Symbionese Liberation Army, MOVE, Black Panthers, and SWAT was born in the 70s. Special Weapons and Tactic Units in Los Angeles.
I believe it was born yeah, and also in Oakland, yeah. In the Black Panther, the raid on the Black Panther headquarters in Oakland.
Exactly. Yeah. So that militarization, now let's say there's no need for it anymore, but the reality of it is that it became a thing of money. It was all about money. You need more money for the department, create a special weapons and tactics unit. You need more money for the department, you know, more drug enforcement type stuff. On and on and on. So the militarization of the police comes from tying local community policing to these larger, more ominous threats, whether it be narco-terrorism or whether it be domestic terrorism or what all these things. The point is that this is how you got your endorsement from law enforcement if you're a politician. As I'm going to go get you some more money out of the federal government to, you know, and this is the way that we can do it.
All right. We have a full board, so let's see if we can, in the next 7 minutes, get through all of these calls. Ingrid is next. Ingrid, go ahead.
Okay, quickly. Everybody is entitled to a day in court, and any police force or anything analogous to it is not supposed to act as an executioner. I recall a couple years ago there was some kind of scuffle in front of a door where they wanted someone to come out, and there was a scuffle between the law enforcement officers themselves and a misunderstanding, and then they started firing into the house, and the poor person was killed. I think he was a former...
The Garena incident.
Yeah.
What's that?
That happened.
The Garena incident.
That happened here in Tucson.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ingrid, I'm going to have to run real
yes.
quickly. Okay.
Bye.
Thank you. Paul, about this, everyone is entitled to a day in court, as Ingrid
yeah,
puts it.
Yeah, I think... And the militarization of the police forces is a good point. I think we've gotten away because of that. we've gotten away from community policing, which I think is a better way, because if a police officer knows the people in his the neighborhood that he's patrolling, if he gets out of his car and meets people and talks to people, people have a lot more trust in that officer and the police force in general, and then everything works better because people are listening to each other. I think that's really important, communication, and rather than everybody distrusting each other, there's fear on both sides, and situations like that where we have to bring all this force to a situation and then bullets start to fly, I think that's part of the problem too. I think if police forces, and I'm not saying police forces should be outgunned, because sometimes they are and they need that extra help in terms of guns and actual technology to help them. But I think it's caused the police to get away from community policing, which I think is the best way to police and the best way for community to interact with the police.
And we have
and how do the communities pay for it?
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
Yep.
How do communities pay for community policing?
Yep. It costs money. That's
true. It costs
true.
Money. And so they went the easy way. They went the easy way to get the money.
Yep. One of our Facebook friends saying, what if police used a robot at the standoff in Oregon? Well, might not. Who knows?
You know,
that one went
20
on.
Rednecks would have, put 7.62 rounds into the robot.
Okay. Next up, Matthew. Go ahead, Matthew.
Yeah, I want to associate my remarks with Carl and Ingrid, and I appreciate them saying that, because as a military person, our levels of force are based off rules of engagement, and you know, even in a war zone, we seem to show more restraint. And I completely agree that this police chief acted as judge, jury, and executioner. If he was unable to contain the forces, and I watched their tactics when they thought it was four individuals, and I thought they were completely failing. And if it had been four individuals, I think he should have ceded control of that scene to a higher authority, whether it be the governor and National Guard troops to come in and help. But since it was one individual, and that was wrong. And we have to, the FBI should, and the Attorney General, because the color of law cannot be used like this. They have exceeded the color of law authority. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Thank you, Matthew. Let's see if we can work these other two calls in. Dan, go ahead, Dan, real quickly, please.
Thank you. I'm a little confused. Isn't this Black Lives Matter group in Dallas the same group that for the past few months has been screaming and yelling on TV to murder the police and fry them and kill them whenever possible?
I don't believe so. I saw a spokesperson who was a pastor from a white pastor, actually, who was one of the leaders of that protest, and everything was going very well, and the police were interacting with them very well. And it was just a mentally ill person who had seen what had happened in Baton Rouge and in
who had been radicalized by propaganda. And that propaganda was a combination of what he saw out of BLM and the African American Defense League.
I'm not sure he was radicalized by propaganda, because if you watch the videos in both Baton Rouge and in St. Paul, it's pretty egregious, and that could anybody who's mentally unstable could easily be triggered just by watching that on TV. Well, and so I think you're going a little bit farther.
I think it's social media use
and a caller. We don't have time to get the caller on the air, but the caller's question is: Do Paul and Jim believe that the Black Lives Matter movement is an adjunct to the Democratic Party?
No.
No.
No, actually, our most liberal candidate, Bernie Sanders, was being confronted by Black Lives Matter early on in the campaign, if you remember. They're a separate group that's very angry about what's been going on for a while, and I think, you know, they were chastising Democrats as well as Republicans the political process.
Black Lives Matter is sort of like the Students for a Democratic Society of the mid-60s to early 70s. They're not adjunct. But they will use friendlies and allies, as they say, allies within the Democratic Party, particularly white liberals, to move their message forward, just like SDS did. Their purpose is to disrupt both the Republican National Committee and the Democrat National Committee.
Well,
disruption is what they want, because disruption gives them attention to their message.
All right, gentlemen, good session. Good to talk about these issues, and thanks to all the callers. Jim Kelly, thanks.
Thank you, Bill.
To see you.
It's always a pleasure.
Paul, nice to see you.
Yep, thanks.
Mose Gowrie and Fine Framing believes in a very spirited discussion about politics, and that's why they sponsor our program. The Monday Political Face-Off, Mose Gowrie and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, MoseGowrie.com, and they're on Facebook. Basically, if you have any framing needs, believe me, Mo will do the best job in town. We'll be right back with General John Wickham.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. Almost 60 flights take off every day from Tucson International Airport and announcing the newest destination, New York.
American Airlines, now boarding nonstop to JFK.
Daily nonstop service to New York starts October 7th with connections across the Atlantic and throughout the Northeast. Now with 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Tuesday as we talk with Joel Feinman about his bid to become Pima County's next top legal officer. Also, Tucson Weekly arts writer Margaret Regan with the Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's voice. It is the the Buckmaster Show on this Monday afternoon, coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. And we have worldwide listening anywhere you're near a computer at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, so you can live stream the show. The first Monday afternoon on the Buckmaster Show, first Monday of the month. Well, it's not the first Monday this year, unless there's a holiday. Let's put it that way. It's the second Monday, and that's when we bring in General John Wickham, the Buckmaster Show contributor on military and foreign affairs. Before I introduce General Wickham, I do want to tell you that one of our fine sponsors is Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, which is just 3 hours east of Tucson. It's a great way to get away from the heat here in Tucson because, after all, they have that beautiful mile-high elevation. Great places to stay. You can do some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, places like Gila Hot Springs Ranch, one of the 24 or so fine accommodations in the area. Check out southwestnewmexico.org. General John Wickham is the former United States Army Chief of Staff. He was Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987, Commander-in-Chief of South Korean and U.S. Combined Forces from 1979 to 1982. General Wickham served 4 decades in the Army. He is retired in Oro Valley, and he does join us now on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. General, how are you?
Doing fine, Bill. Great to be on your program, and you've got some wonderful sponsors on the program. I must say you really do well.
Thank you very much, General. We just had a very spirited discussion on our Monday political face-off about the use of this robot by the Dallas Police Department to take out that suspect who killed those police officers. And there's a lot of citizens, General Wickham, are concerned about militarization of our police force. And I'm just curious, perhaps you have some thoughts on that.
Well, the British, for example, do not arm their police. We're one of the few countries in the world that do arm police. It's valuable given the fact that we have more guns than any other nation in the world in the terms of population. The police need protection. I've got a granddaughter who is a military police officer for serving ROTC, so I'm sympathetic to the need for good quality police and protection of them. But what's been going on with the horrible incidents of shooting back and forth, blacks and whites, is endemic of American history. We have not gotten over racism in our country. And just 30 years ago, when I became Chief of Staff of the Army, I discovered that we were selecting people to command battalions and brigades at less than the percentage they served in the military, in the minorities. Only 3% we were selecting, and yet we had 18 to 20% minorities. And that meant if you didn't get selected for command, forget about ever getting promoted. So how to fix that? I finally had to write in my handwriting to every selection board picking commanders, you will select in accordance with the density in the Army, or you explain to me why you could not. The effect was electric. I was told by many people, that's bad, you're going to hurt your career. Well, I'd already been Chief of Staff. I didn't need to worry about the career. But it was electric, and we began to select senior officers that became generals. And that's only we're going to get more Colin Powells. But guess what, Bill? We're right back to where it was when I became Chief of Staff. We're only picking 3% of minorities for command.
Wow.
So we've got racism built in here, and we have got to work on it. And I bring that point up only to say that leadership is going to make a difference. We can talk about this, and we say we all got to do better, but we're going to have stronger leadership in the military and in our organizations that get rid of the racism.
General Colin Powell, in his autobiography, praises you, General Wickham, as really you were...
you were looked to as the mentor for Colin Powell. And Colin Powell also talks about the efforts that you did make, as you've been articulating, to try to break some of this racism in the military. But it sounds like you're saying we've taken several steps backward.
We have, Bill. And there's something on PBS last night. I don't agree with it, but it was making the point that, well, we elected a black as president, so we can forget about fixing racism, because we've already done that. That's wrong. We're going to have to work on this. It goes back to the founding fathers, when we had slaves in this country. And we've got to, and the attitude is they're inferior to whites. Wrong. Big time wrong. And you and I and others have got to change that, and it's got to begin in schools and in homes and in the workplace. And we're not doing a good enough job.
790-2040, 790-2040, if you would like to enhance our conversation with General Wickham, we would love to hear from you. There's so much to cover here in the next 20 minutes or so, General. This news about the VA, a commission on the Veterans Administration urging expansion of private care options. You've touched on this before in our previous conversations. This seems to be moving forward now.
I don't think in the proper way. The criticism of the VA is well-founded in many respects. There are long late lines. But guess what, Bill? If you go even as a civilian to get medical care, you're going to have to wait for an appointment. So that's not a big enough problem. The care in the VA facilities generally is excellent. I've gone down here to our local VA here to shake hands with veterans, and I've talked to families and the veterans there, and universally they praise the quality of the care, and they know how to take care of veterans. And the idea that we can turn over 9 million veterans to civilian care is ludicrous. The civilian doctors don't know anything about PTSD, post-trauma stress disorder. They don't know how to deal with brain injuries in the military. The VA does. Guess what? The VA has cured MRSA, this god-awful infectious disease, in all of their facilities. And now the private hospitals are going to the VA and saying, tell us how you did that. We need to do that in our facilities. So the VA has made progress. One of the reasons we've got one of the best VA clinics in the United States here in Tucson is because of former Congresswoman Gabby Giffords, that made sure we got plenty of funding for it.
What is this what are they talking about with these private care options? What would be included in that?
What we would do is say, okay, every veteran, you're just like on Medicare. Mm. You get a Medicare card, you can go anywhere to any doctor and get medical care. And that we began that route when a couple of years ago, we said, well, veterans that are outside 40 miles of a facility or have to wait too long for an appointment, we'll pay for you to go to a private hospital. That hasn't worked very well because they still got to wait. So the idea of getting rid of the VA and turning it over into a private medical practice, I think, is wrong. Here's part of the problem, Bill. Our Congress has not walked the talk, including our own senators here, who say we need to do better by veterans. They have not supported Obama administration's requests for more funding for doctors and nurses and VA facility upgrades. They have not paid them, they have not put the money in there. They haven't walked the talk. So Congress is partly to fault.
All right, this would be a good time to switch gears, take a break, and then when we come back, we'll talk about all of some international developments, including North Korea firing a sub-launched missile. We'll hear what the general has to say about that. It's the Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Be right back.
The
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We have an entire section devoted to the Old West and its heritage. Contributors include Wyatt Earp historian Scott Dyke and hiking Apacheria's Jerry Egan. We also look back at Old West newspapers and feature a column, This Day in Old West History. It is Old West News from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Every year, eager travelers journey to Europe to experience the Yuletide season at its very best. With the glittering backdrop of winter white hilltops and extravagantly decorated cities, get swept up in the enchantment that's in the air. Let's not forget the most magical part of all, Europe's famous Christmas markets, renowned for their festive atmosphere, great food and drink, and handcrafted gifts. Experience the magic of the holidays aboard an Ama Waterways river cruise. Call Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Christmas market cruise and save up to 40%. Bon Voyage Travel, 797-1110.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Welcome back. This portion of the program presented by Green Things. We are so proud of the sponsors that we have. What a fine lineup of folks who believe in the work we do here in Green Things. They do such a wonderful job. They have these free workshops now Saturday and Sunday over at Green Things, 3384 East River Road. And their newest edition of items that are of note, the Thursday morning at 8 o'clock, the Farmer's Market and Artisans Market. So that's happening now over at Green Things as well. They are just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, and they're just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. You can find out about all the workshops at greenthingsaz.com. Let's welcome back to the program General John Wickham, former United States Army Chief of Staff. North Korea
over the weekend fired a submarine-launched missile off the eastern side there of the peninsula, General Wickham. Apparently, this is in defiance of the international sanctions. Here we go again.
That's true, Bill, and we're going to be seeing more of that. The North Korean leadership and even the Chinese are surprised and angered by the behavior of the North Koreans, but that they don't care. And I told you on the program before, I've been to China half a dozen times and talked to the presidents and the senior leaders there who go to North Korea routinely and about North Korea. And they say, yes, North Korea is an ally, but we don't want North Korea to be like South Korea and an ally to the United States. So we're going to support them. But guess what? When we talk to the North Koreans, they don't listen to us. They don't take our advice. So that's been difficult to work with them. We're going to see more of that. North Korea, as I mentioned on your program, has 40 nuclear weapons, the size that were used on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and they have the makings of at least 40 more. So it's going to be a dangerous situation. The South Koreans and the Japanese are now encouraged in their parliaments to think the time is right for them to get a weapon. Even Saudi Arabia, the king, Salman, has said, we can get a weapon next week. I'll buy one from Pakistan.
Mm.
So it's a proliferation is a threat to people more so than we think. Now, what can be done about this? We've got to begin to talk to North Korea. Wouldn't it be great if the Chinese would offer to host in Beijing or another city in China, renewed six-party talks, including Russia, Japan, South Korea, United States, to talk about the future of the Korean Peninsula. No preconditions the way we've had before. And that might lead us to some sort of movement. But the sanctions that have been imposed on North Korea, economic sanctions by the United Nations, which China and Russia supported, are the most stringent ever on any country. And now we've just imposed new sanctions on people like Kim Jong-un, the leader of North Korea, and about a dozen other leaders. And that has really provoked them into anger. We're doing something similar in Europe as we move NATO closer and closer to the Russian border. Russia feels threatened. We don't walk in their shoes because America has not ever been threatened the way Russia has when Napoleon and Hitler got almost all the way to Moscow. So they see whatever we're doing with NATO as an immediate threat to them. So we're going to see anger from Putin and Russia, and we're going to see some military activity by them. I hope it doesn't lead to hostilities.
790-2040, 790-2040. If you have a question or comment for General Wickham, he'd be happy to entertain that. I know that, General, you are very, very concerned about the United Kingdom voting to exit from the European Union and the implications of this, not just economically, but militarily as well.
That's very serious, yes. The British exit was a close call. And there are some commentators, analysts, that are saying, now let's not give up hope that in the next couple of years, it's going to take 2 years to work through the Article 50 of the European Union for leaving the Union. So in 2 years, they could change their minds and decide, well, no, let's not quit. When they're faced with a possible referendum in Scotland and in Northern Ireland to leave the United Kingdom, that may force Britain to say, well, let's take another look at this. So I wouldn't hold out hope that that'll happen, but it's a possibility. But it does raise serious problems in terms of strengthening Europe, which is important for world peace and economic development in the world. And Britain, now we still have good relations with Britain, always will, but it is it's another manifestation of an unhappiness on the part of the younger people in many countries, United States included. That's the support that Donald Trump is getting. people are unhappy with where we're going, and Britain was the same.
The military forces of the United Kingdom will remain strong, in your opinion, despite this exit from the EU?
Yes, they will. Not as strong as we would like them to be. None of the nations in NATO have really paid their military dues and raised. We're in the United States. We're almost 5% of our gross national product going into the military. In Europe, it's less than 2% of those nations. They should be up around 3% or more. Britain is low. None of them want to spend money. They'd like to rely on the United States to do all the heavy lifting. That's wrong. I think all of them need to get more involved.
You're urging everyone to read a remarkable short book about, do you think every politician, especially in this election year, should study because of the experience of the author? What is that book?
Richard Haass writes a book about foreign policy begins at home. It's a small book, published a couple of years ago, but an enormous amount of wisdom. I know Richard. He and I served together on the Defense Policy Board years ago. A very talented man. He's now head of the Foreign Policy Association and often on media interviews. But what he makes the case in there, to make it very simple, that foreign policy begins at home. We in the United States must rebuild our economy, because what we have done is broken our economy. We used to be ranked number one in infrastructure in the world. We are now over 30 and getting worse.
Let's go to the live line. Chuck has called us, has a question about classified material. Go ahead, Chuck.
Hello, Chuck.
Yes, General. Hi, General. I also served in the Air Force, so we're both military people, and we recognize the privacy of compromising classified material. Knowing what you know of as far as Hillary Clinton goes, how do you feel about her?
I'll tell you, I'm going to vote for her. I support her. A lot of what we're reading about, Chuck, my opinion, is political hype. The GOP conservatives have over the years done whatever they can to attack the Clintons. Guess what? The use of private email servers in the government and the State Department goes back decades. Colin Powell used the same sort of thing. Are we going to go after Colin Powell and other leaders of the State Department? No, we aren't. But they're going after Hillary because they want to try to damage her. Now, maybe she did some things that were careless, but not knowingly doing that. And the mail that came to her on her server, if it was classified, it would show on the server classified, and therefore it would not be sent, and she would not open it. So the fact things were sent to her, it meant they were unclassified and maybe classified later on. So I think my humble opinion, we've got to take a lot of this stuff with a grain of salt.
All right, General Wickham. There's been some changes in the military retirement. Are they looking at different benefits? Is that what I'm hearing?
What's going on in the Congress is trying to save some money. And unfortunately, they're looking very seriously at changing the defense people structure, the way people retire, what we're going to pay them, their medical costs, their moving, their housing costs, post-camp and station move, PCS moves. And I think it's all wrong to try to save a few bucks here and there that way. As I mentioned, I've got a daughter and grandson serving in the Army, and they're very disillusioned by what they're seeing coming out of the House Armed Services Committee and Appropriations Committee in their efforts to cut funding. I think it's penny wise, pound foolish.
All right. General Wickham, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. We'll see you the first Monday in August. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Bill. God bless.
Thanks a lot. General John Wickham. 12:59 on the Buckmaster Show, coming up at 4 o'clock. Ray Allen and Mike Shaw. They get together, they do Fort Tucson at 4. Then in the morning, we've got Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 8. Then the Daily Double with Christy Simone and a different guest host every day. Then me, Bill Buckmaster, completing 5 hours of local talk here on KVOI. That's not half bad, is it, Ray? 5 hours of local talk. That's a good commitment from Mr. and Mrs. Martin, the owners of the station. But I will be back along with Ray tomorrow, 12:04, Buckmaster Tuesday edition. Join us. We'll talk some politics. Joel Feinman will be our guest back tomorrow at 12:04. Have a great afternoon.